It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Shout outs to everybody tuned in, locked in all over North America. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our producer holding things down in New York City. His name is Ryan Botcher. I appreciate you for being here. You've been hanging out for the past 2 hours. Where have you been? Well, it don't matter. You're here now. That's all that matters. Okay? I get started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can tune in on the free Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can listen on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you got SiriusXM, well, it's channel 375. You got yourself a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. We've had a busy day, a busy show. We talked about Game 7 of the NBA Finals that's going to take place on Sunday. We talked about the Stanley Cup Finals, one of the lowest rated finals. Well, the ratings are dropping. Let's just put it that way. Not good. Hey, we talked about Sammy Sosa back in Chicago, fully embraced after being a cheater. Shedeur Sanders, he's not cheating anybody but potentially himself. Driving 100 miles per hour. So slow down, man. Slow down. We're going to talk about Rafael Devers. He's getting ready to take on his old team, the Red Sox. What interesting timing. Hey, we've even had some suspensions with the Dodgers and the Padres. They were throwing baseballs at each other last night, and Mike Schilt got suspended a game. Dave Roberts suspended a game. Robert Suarez suspended 3 games for throwing at Ohtani. Surprised they didn't kick him out of baseball. You got to leave Shohei Ohtani the hell alone. And we got so much more to get into. In about 20 minutes, we're going to have a chat with Andrew Schlecht. He covers the Thunder. He covers the Thunder all over the place. He covers the Thunder for The Athletic. And so we got a lot to do. Probably get into the Friday funny later in the show. A few things that took place this day in sports history. We got a lot to do. I'm just here. It's Friday. I'm having fun. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me on the internet. I exist. I'm a human being, but I'm on the internet too. I'm at JR Sport Brief, okay? It's at JR Sport Brief. I'm going to be mad. I'm not going to be here when this comes on. I'll be gone. But later tonight, as I just mentioned, we got some baseball. We have the San Francisco Giants taking on the Boston Red Sox. And that simply means that Rafael Devers has the opportunity to beat the living hell out of his former team. The Red Sox, yeah, the Red Sox, the team that traded him, the team that wanted him to try playing first base, the team that wanted him to move from third and be a DH. And then we all know that he's the man who just didn't want to do it. You asked me to do it? Nope, didn't want to do it. And now they sent him out to San Francisco. Apparently the Red Sox screwed this up, right? They didn't communicate that they wanted Alex Bregman. They didn't communicate enough that they, you know, were thinking about bringing him in to take his spot. They brought Bregman in and then they said, hey, can you move? He said, no. And then when he did move, he said, I'll be DH. And then when Casas went down, they said, oh, well, you play first. He said, no. They were asking him to do too much? I don't think so. Apparently, they were poor in their communication. I think I would agree with that. But I still think, you know, you want to be a team player. But anyway, he's in San Francisco. And now there's a lot of people who are saying some interesting things about him. David Ortiz, not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, he's just like, yeah, Red Sox, they communicated this poorly. David Ortiz also recently put up a post on social media that seemingly referred to Devers and basically said, everybody isn't built to be a Red Sox. Ouch. And even Pedro Martinez, just a couple of days ago, he was on TBS because Pedro loves to talk. He gets paid to do so. Good man. This is what he had to say about Devers' deal on TBS.
I was shocked. Just like everybody else, I was shocked because if you try to sell to me, knowing Rafi Devers, that Rafi is a bad teammate or he's not a team player, you're lying. You're going to tell me he's a bad influence in the clubhouse? He's not. Does he want to play every single day? Yes, that's probably why he was mad. Well, The thing got mishandled from the get-go. And I think if I'm Jimmy and I'm Grandy and we have an ex-teammate or a teammate that's not doing things like they should be doing, we pull him aside, all three of us, and we convince him to come into the things that we want to do together. This should have been in the hands of baseball people, not front office people, not leaking it to the media, not having a back and forth between the media and Alex and Sam Kennedy and Breslow. Right. So I think it should have been handled by baseball people, Pedroia, Big Papi.
Man, what are they besides ambassadors? Like, what are they? If I'm paying you, I can't talk to you? What, to fix it? Maybe N. Pedro wasn't clear. What, to fix the situation after it already was screwed up? I got to call David. Or, hey, David, go talk to him. Maybe. The owner showed up. He's the one paying him $31 million a year. I mean, sheesh. What more does he need? They need to send a gift basket to his house? Like, what are we doing here? Anyway, he's in San Francisco. His former manager, Alex Cora, he was on Mad Dog Radio on Sirius XM. And he says, he's a member of the Giants. But we are the Red Sox, and it's time to move on.
I'm not going to hide the fact that we traded one of the best hitters in the big leagues, right? Rafi's a special hitter, but there's something that, as an organization, we decided to do. And I think the guys have done an outstanding job in the page. You know, it's not about we don't like Rafi. We actually love Rafi, but our job is to show up every day and try to win games. And the one thing we can do is turn the page as soon as possible. We love Rafi, like I told you before. Our job is to show up and play games. We owe it to the franchise, to the organization, and we owe it to the fans.
Oh, how sweet. I love it. Now it's a love fest. I don't know too many. Well, I guess that would be the case. Oh, boy. After a divorce, you feel happy. Yeah, you do. I don't know. I'm not speaking from experience, but you go your separate ways after you're miserable and you feel better. And how about this? Rafael Devers, he feels better. He actually spoke to the media not too long ago. And he was asked about the last time he felt this happy. Listen to this.
It's been a long time. I mean, I don't know how to explain it, but the few weeks that I've been here, yes, I've been happy. I feel very relaxed now.
I love the translators. I love them. Bacha, I need a translator.
For what language?
I don't know. English to English? I don't know.
That'd be pretty cool. English to English?
What? Say who?
English to like British English?
British? Oh, to have
Shakespearean?
Someone.
Like Shakespearean translator?
That'd be cool, right? You up on a Shakespearean English? You up on that?
Why are thou sad?
Oh, well, Devers?
Yeah, that's what we could ask.
Yeah, let's ask this one. Well, what is this? Here's one. Here's one for you. Translate this one. Rafael Devers, he pretty much said that he played first base for San Francisco, but not in Boston. Well, let's listen to his answer, and then you translate it, okay?
I would say that I have put some good numbers over Boston, and I think that I do feel that I have earned some respect, and if they would have asked me at the beginning of spring training, yes, I would have played.
Oh, wow. Okay, Bacha, your turn. Go ahead.
Thou deserve king treatment over thy ruler.
Oh, boy. That's over the ruler?
The owner. Okay. I don't know. What is it?
Slick Rick?
I don't know. Wow. I'm trying to. What's a word for like owner? Governor? Yeah. Thy shall deserve.
Owner.
Respect. Owner. By thy owner.
Yeah, owner. I think owner sounds too plain, but whatever. We get the drift. Didn't this take place in spring training? Like, did he need them to go up to him the very first day? Am I bugging? This was in spring training, so what's the difference? Am I wrong here? What do you think?
Well, first base, I don't even think that was in the cards. So he was like, oh, I'm going to be DH now.
Right, right, because, right. They told him to DH. Yeah. Right, right.
So he was like, I don't even care about first base.
No, wait, wait, wait. Apparently they told him to take grounders. They asked if he'd give it a go and try and take ground balls in spring training. So I highly doubt that that's a lie. I don't think. Why not? I would think if you are someone in his position and you know that Bregman is coming in and now you know that you're moving, and if necessary, the next time that it's just natural, you're playing DH now, the most likely job that they would ever ask you to do next is to maybe put the first baseman glove on all the time. And you played baseball, man. I ain't grew up playing baseball. You play a position. Don't you want to be out on the field more often than not?
Yeah, you can't stay focused all that much when you're in the dugout DHing. Like, you can go to the batting cages and whatnot down at the major level and just hit and watch video, but it's not the same as playing and being in every pitch and staying focused.
Yeah, so I mean, why? I don't. He's a different cat, man. Why I'm gonna play? I play because I'm Sanford. If Boston would have asked me at the beginning, I would have. Man, that's a cheap ass excuse. I really don't even buy that one. I mean, we're doing all this translation. I don't know. That one might be lost in translation. Devers has been on this team for a couple of games now, only three. He has three hits and 11 at-bats. He has two walks. And he says, now that I'm here, offense is going to be better.
We will improve. There's a reason why they brought me here. We're going to improve. Our offense is going to get hot, and we're going to start winning more games.
Oh, he said it. We get hot, start winning some more games. Oh, man. Come on. They will. They ain't going to beat the Dodgers in nothing, but they will. Congratulations to him. Does he hit a home run today or tomorrow, Botcher?
Is there a chance he hits three home runs tonight?
Ooh, no. And, of course, there's not zero chance. You giving him one, more than one?
I'd say won the series.
Ouch. I got to look to see who's on the mound. All right, look that up.
Well, if it's Crochet, I would say under. But if it's anybody else on that rotation, I would say over.
Go ahead and light him up, yeah. Oh, you know what I forgot to do? Because Crochet is a big dude. I forgot to look up Soriano. I'm sure Marco's already found him by now. Wow. Yeah, ain't no love lost between Devers and that team. He's going to smash a home run. But Alex Cora, I told you, well, we just heard him on Mad Dog Radio. He said he still loves the guy. Good for him.
I love the kid. The kid is a great person. He's an elite here. We've been through a lot. You know, if you think about it, you know, me and Rafi are the only, he was the last one of the 2018 World Series champs, you know, and we've been through a lot, not only as an organization, together as an organization, but also, you know, as a manager, player relationship. But like I always told him, you know, and this is something that I always tell my players, you know, the business is a business, the game is a game, the personal side of it will never change, you know. And there's a kid that I like, I appreciate. He did a lot of things for me and for us, and like I said, you know, hopefully this weekend he doesn't have a good one, and then from Monday on he becomes the best DH in the National League.
Yeah, he may not feel that way about you, though. That's how people say things, right? It's like any breakup. It's like, oh, I still love them. Oh, I still have feelings for them. Oh, we're friends. And another person hates that person's guts. I mean, that amounts to a whole lot of nothing. I still love. Well, let's ask Rafael Devers. He's like, I don't care. It doesn't amount to anything. I'm interested to see what this series looks like over the weekend. Devers is going to. He's going to mash. Just go ahead and say that. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, that series starting over the weekend should be a lot of fun. But I told you, on Sunday, there's a lot of fun to be had. If you're in Sunrise and out in Fort Lauderdale, you can go to the Panthers Parade for the Stanley Cup. And then late at night, I guess all of America, you can sit down and watch the NBA Finals. Game 7, we're going to come back and have a chat with Andrew Schlecht. He covers the Thunder. He's writing for The Athletic. He's hosting podcasts. I want to get his thoughts on whether or not the Thunder are going to close this out where the hell they were last night because they were not playing the Pacers, and just what the implications are for this series now that we are down to one more game in the NBA season. Andrew Schlecht is going to join us on the other side. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Don't move.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We got a big Sunday coming up. Well, down in South Florida, they have a celebration for the Stanley Cup Finals. And out in OKC, they hope a few days after that they have a celebration for their first championship. They did not get the job done last night, getting blasted by the Indiana Pacers. What went wrong? What do they need to do? Were they too relaxed? Are they winning at home? This is a team with a lot of potential. It'll be a massive disappointment if they lose. So talk about the Thunder and what we've seen and what we can expect moving forward is someone who covers the Oklahoma City Thunder, someone who podcasts for The Athletic. Joining us right now is Andrew Schlecht. Andrew, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you for the time and joining us. Not the result that a lot of Thunder fans expected or wanted last night. Did they take things for granted that they were just going to wake up and close things out?
You know, I mean, you talk to the guys after the game, and they certainly talk about how they didn't bring it like they needed to. They didn't bring the intensity. They didn't bring the attention to detail. And, you know, you can't do that against the Pacers. I think that it's hard to say that, like, oh, they came in with big heads or anything like that. You know, we're not so inside that we feel that way. We would just, or that we can, like, actually see that. But, you know, I do think that it's hard to win an NBA championship. And I think that they're learning how hard that is. And you can't, you don't learn that until you're actually in the process of trying to do it. And you can never take your foot off the gas. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. You have to, like, be out for blood. And I just don't think the Thunder were last night. I think the Pacers were. I think they had the crowd behind them. I think that was a piece of the puzzle. But they were paying attention to the detail. They made adjustments the Thunder weren't ready for. And the Thunder did not make the proper in-game adjustment to them. And they just didn't ever match their attention to detail or energy. And so if the Thunder want to win a title, they're going to have to bring those things to the table on Sunday.
Well, Andrew, typically when we get to these game sevens, a lot of coaches tend to overthink the situation or maybe get too cute. Could you see any adjustments to tinkering with the lineups that Mark Daigneault may move forward with?
Yeah, I mean, there are other things that they could go to. One would be just start Alex Caruso from the start in place of Hartenstein. It seems like that is the lineup that they want to go to as kind of their silver bullet. And he, you know, Caruso allows you to do a lot more switching. He allows you to play an aggressive form of defense. And so I do think that's possible. They did start Caruso at the start of the second half. I kind of still expect them to play Hartenstein because if they don't start him, I think it's harder to get him into the game.
Yeah.
But I think there's more stuff to go to. However, I don't know that Mark is going to do that in a game seven, but we'll see. Mark is not afraid to make any adjustment. He's not afraid to play different lineups. We talk about, like, getting too cute. Mark just does that all the time. Like, that's just how he is with the lineups, with the Thunder throughout the season. You know, there'll be portions of the season where, like, Dylan Jones will play, you know, big minutes. You're like, what's going on here? And so I do think that, like, he's not afraid to play different combinations of these guys for sure.
Andrew Schlecht is joining us from The Athletic. Isaiah Hartenstein has brought a different dimension to this team. We know the Pacers like to go up and down the court. They spread the ball around. Why hasn't he had the same type of impact? You would think that their size and defense would be a benefit, but apparently it hasn't been. Why not?
Yeah, I think he's been effective in spots. I think that that two-man lineup with he and Chet are like a plus 12 over the series, so it's been effective. But one thing that the Pacers have done really well is they've taken away kind of that mid-paint area. And that is essentially where his offense lies. You know, it's either a putback or a dunk or a layup, of course, as a big man. But you've watched Isaiah Hartenstein for any length of time. You know that his floater is like his biggest weapon. And he made his first floater of the series last night. And it was on a broken play. Like, they've taken that away. Like, they're just like, hey, Isaiah Hartenstein's out there. That mid-paint touch, you are there. You are not giving him any space. So I think some of that is he doesn't have space to get that floater off is part of it. And then they just play such smart, fast basketball that it's hard to function out there with two bigs. And so I do think they've had some success. But when it comes down to it, the way that the Pacers play, you want to play more guards and wings. And the Thunder have a plethora of those guys. And so I think they're going to continue to kind of favor Caruso and Cason Wallace and Lu Dort and guys like that over Hartenstein just because, you know, styles make fights in the playoffs, and this is kind of where they're at. And the Thunder like to play fast, too. Yeah. It's not that just the Pacers like to play fast. The Thunder like to play fast, too. And so I do think that it's you know, there's series that really favored Hartenstein, and this just isn't one of them.
When you think about what we're going to see on Sunday, I'm happy. I want more basketball. Seven games is fine by me. I thought it would be done in six games. I gave the Pacers one or two games, and here we are. They're tied at three games apiece. What do you anticipate to happen on Sunday? I mean, we had a caller early in the show. He's like, hey, all the momentum is now towards the Pacers, and I'm just like, I don't know about that. What are your thoughts on what we can expect on Sunday?
Yeah, to the momentum point, I mean, if you just look at this series, momentum doesn't exist in this series. You know, what's happening with this series is that you have two really intelligent coaches and two really intelligent rosters that are adjusting to one another. And it's this like nip and tuck throughout the entire series. And so the Thunder haven't lost consecutive games in the playoffs yet. And especially when they get their butts kicked, they bounce back in a big way. We've seen that happen against Denver. We've seen that happen against Minnesota. And I expect the Thunder to bounce back in a big way. Now, does that mean they're going to blow them out? I kind of doubt that. But I do think like they're going to play better overall. You know, if you look at the history of game sevens, like you mentioned, like those games are played in the mud.
Yeah.
You know, it's played with a lot of nerves. And so my expectation is that this will be a close one that will come down to the shot making of your stars. And, you know, I think that, you know, Shea has all the accolades behind him except for one. And I think that Shea will deliver on Sunday.
Andrew Schlecht here with us from The Athletic. Regardless of how this series goes, of course, if it goes bad for OKC, it's going to be a massive, massive disappointment. But this is a young team, and we know that it's prohibitive to move forward future years with paying everybody $230 million. What can we expect with this roster going forward? It will, for the most part, we can expect them to be together for a while, no?
Yeah, for sure. I think that they, you know, especially the big three, I think the hope is that they get to play together through their overlapping primes, and they get to have a lot of success together. Now, things that will come into question are, like, can you keep Cason Wallace, you know, down the road whenever he comes up for an extension? And can you keep Lugans Dort when he comes up for an extension? You know, Isaiah Hartenstein has a team option on his deal after next season. Are they going to pick that up? Are they going to try to give him a smaller extension? You know, what does that look like? I think those are the peripheral pieces that they'll have to make some hard decisions with. But that's also what the draft picks are for. You know, they have two first-round picks. You know, the draft is Thursday. They have two first-round picks in that draft. You know, the following year they could have up to four different draft picks in the first round. And so I think that the hope is, like, guys like Nikola Topic, who hasn't played in this whole rookie season for him, that he can be a guy that can play, and then they can select somebody at 15 in the draft that can play. And so whenever you do have to let go of a Cason Wallace, Isaiah Hartenstein, you know, maybe you have to trade Isaiah Joe or Aaron Wiggins, But you can supplement it with cheaper players that are ready to play now. You know, maybe you can draft like the future Kaysen Wallace. You know, Kaysen's been a valuable member of the team, and he is on a pretty small deal because he's on a rookie scale deal. So I think that, you know, as Presti set this up really well for them to keep their big three and then kind of supplement around them with draft picks and affordable players.
Now, Andrew, last question for you. If they win this championship on Sunday, how long is it going to take before they put a statue of Sam Presti up outside Paycom?
Oh, man. So they're building a new arena that will go up in 2028. And they're actually going to, I believe the plan is to demolish Paycom. And so I would put one up pretty quick because he and Clay Bennett have been the constant for this organization. It's been successful through so many iterations. You even had like this one year with this Chris Paul team that overachieved. Like, they've done so much for the city that I do think they deserve some recognition. The thing is, it will probably never happen because Sam won't let that happen. He's like, okay, we need one of Russ. We need one of Nick Collison. We need, you know, I think that he'll push off the credit to the players, which he always kind of does. But I think that you're on the right track with, you know, Presti and Clay Bennett, you know, as a duo. There's probably not a better owner, president of basketball ops in the league, you know, that has been together for this long. I mean, they've been together since the Thunder began, you know, in 2008, 2009. And that's just, it's very rare. It's something very special that I hope Thunder fans understand, you know, what they have in those two.
Yeah, Bennett and Presti could give the New York Knicks some advice, but it might be too late on that.
That may be too far down the road.
Yeah, I think so, too. Hey, Andrew, thank you so much for the time. Tell everybody where they can listen and keep up with everything that you do with The Athletic.
For sure. I have a Thunder podcast called Down to Dunk. I would love for people to listen to that. And then we have a show called The Athletic NBA Daily, hosted by just a great friend of mine, Dave DeFore, and Esper Henny and Zena Kada, and they do a great job just breaking down the games every single night. It's a quick 20-minute recap of what happened in the NBA the night before. It's in your feed, 6 a.m. Eastern time, you know, Monday through Friday. Would love for people to pick that up and become a part of their routine.
Hey, well, thank you, Andrew, for your perspective and your knowledge. Enjoy the game on Sunday, and good luck with the draft, too, I guess. Thunder always end up picking up a new guy there, okay?
All right. Thanks a lot.
No doubt about it. That Andrew Schlecht covers all things Thunder. Make sure you go ahead and listen and check him out. And thank you so much coming through courtesy of The Athletic. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. I need you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We are going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, the NBA season is about to finish. The WNBA season is still here. And, of course, that means more news about Caitlin Clark. Apparently, liking Caitlin Clark can get you fired. And we all know about liking Angel Reese. For the people, she got merchant. Marco, you want a me-bound shirt?
Yeah, I'm going to pass. But thank
okay.
you.
You're welcome. Okay, just offering. Botcher, do you want a me-bound shirt?
I prefer the Monopoly face of you.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going to tell you about merchandise that neither Botcher or Marco want from Angel Reese. We'll talk about Caitlin Clark, why somebody I know got in trouble for supporting Caitlin Clark. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, Infinity Sports Network. Newsflash, here he is, Marco Belletti.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, thank you so much to Andrew Schlecht for joining us in the last break to talk about Game 7 of the NBA Finals. I'm going with the Thunder. And Botcher, you said you're going with the Pacers, right?
Yep, right in the hot hand.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, we'll see what happens. Speaking of the hot hand, who would have thought Angel Reese on a losing basketball team would turn a negative to a positive. And let me tell you something for you WNBA experts out there. The Chicago Sky have a record of 3-8. Yeah, that's losers. Angel Reese is averaging 11 points and almost 12 rebounds. Her shooting percentage is 38%. And she is a forward, like she's grabbing the rebounds, and people make fun of her a lot of times. It's her shooting percentage, she has trouble getting a job done. People get upset about this. It's like you get all these rebounds because you got a lot of missed shots. They call them me bounds. So Angel Reese actually took it upon herself to go, you know what? People say I suck and I'm just grabbing my own missed shots. I'm just getting offensive boards. Well, I'm going to make money off of this. So she actually trademarked it. And now she's actually selling merchandise with me bounds on. Like, listen to this.
Whoever came up with the me bounds thing, y'all ate that up. Because rebounds, me bounds, creep bounds, key bounds, key bounds, T-bounds, anything that comes off that board, it's mine. It's mine.
Anything that comes off the board is hers. Is hers. And now today she released merchandise with me bounds on it. And t-shirts and caps and like, good for her. I'm happy for her. Make all your money. But these are the type of things that I look at and just go, but your team sucks. Like a lot of what she does, and I'm not mad, but a lot of what she does is self-serving. Like throughout the course of a season. I mean, Paul George, this guy sucked too for the Philadelphia 76ers. He wasn't healthy. And so you want to know what he did? He stopped podcasting. Oh, no, no podcast P. I realize we suck. The Sixers are garbage. Maybe I should slow down and give it a break. Maybe I should give it a rest. That we can't have that in the WNBA. Ain't nothing wrong with Angel Reese. Her team is just bad. I mean, could you imagine a player in the NBA whose team is ass? Could you imagine a star in the NBA whose team is bad just all of a sudden wakes up and says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to figure out how to make money on this. In the season? Like last year, she started podcasting. It's like, but then she has an issue at times when she's criticized or people want to come to her defense. It's a cold, cold world. I don't know. She's 23 years old. She's the same age as Shedeur Sanders, who's driving 101 miles per hour. At what point does Angel Reese just go, you know what? I'm going to stop. I've made money podcasting. I sold my Me Bounds merchandise. At what point does she go, damn it, let me become a better basketball player. Let me get my shooting percentage. I don't know. Maybe somewhere close to 500. I don't know. Bacha, how long? Two more years?
I'd say three.
Three more?
That's when it's all juiced out.
That's when what?
It's all going to run out, you know?
What, her?
The passion, I don't know.
Her passion?
Maybe marketing gets bigger and she doesn't really need basketball.
Or you think she's going to walk away?
Maybe. Seems like it's on the track, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, she has two jobs. She's operating as an influencer. And a basketball player. Is she the basketball player or is she the influencer first? Which one is it?
Right now it seems influencer because her team's not doing that great. But I'd say for the next couple of years, I think she'd focus on basketball, hopefully, because you've grown up with it. You played in college. Hopefully you still have a passion for it. And then maybe you can settle down and do the media thing.
Media thing. Maybe she could. I don't know. I mean, I would think you want to take advantage of basketball for as long as you can. You know, maybe she pushes it to 30, and I don't know. Maybe she's on the team that ultimately wins a championship. She is one of the most popular players in the league. She is one of the most famous players in the league. I'm not sitting around, you know, evaluating everybody's social media reach. I would imagine that she is outside of probably Caitlin Clark, which whatever, maybe not. She's one of the most followed players in the entire league. And so if you take basketball away, that eliminates a good portion of her reach. Like that's the platform. So you're right. Maybe she does do it. I don't want to give her a couple years. But I think she'll do it until maybe she finds success and leaves. Because she, in all honesty, let's be real. She is making more money away from the WNBA than she is in the WNBA. She has cereal. And she has a deal with Shaq and Reebok. I'm sure that's not a crap ton of money. She has endorsements. I just hope sooner than later that it's like, hey, you're going to play basketball, be better. Who the hell has a shooting percentage of 37% as a quote-unquote big? And that's what she is. I mean, if you're that damn close to the basket, get us over 50. You're not shooting three-pointers, for God's sake. You're out there just doing that. And good luck to her and her Me Bounds merchandise. Good luck to her. Also news, because you can't have Angel Reese without Caitlin Clark. Whoever knew that supporting Caitlin Clark would get you fired? Well, for one person it did. I don't want to say shout outs, but Rachel Demeter used to play basketball, a very sweet woman. I've met her a couple of times at different events and whatnot. She was a commentator starting last season for the Big Three. That's Ice Cube's basketball league. And so the Big Three just got started. And last week, like while she is live at a game, she is she's tweeting about Caitlin Clark. And apparently she gone. She doesn't have a job anymore. The Big Three has left her or has let her go. Yeah, I didn't know Caitlin Clark could get you fired. Maybe Caitlin Clark could get her a job now. A matter of fact, and maybe there's a deeper reasoning here. You might recall Ice Cube, who's the face and then one of the owners of the Big Three. They offered Caitlin Clark a deal to play in the Big Three. And of course, Caitlin Clark was just like, too gimmicky. No. But listen to what Ice Cube said last year.
It does still stand. You know, if she's on the fence, you know, we could talk about anything that's concerning her. I think we will accommodate her in any way, shape, or form, allowing her to play in the WNBA. you know, a guy from Barstool offered her $10 million to play in his rec league, and she can go do that too. So we're not going to, you know, stop her from pursuing her other goals.
Yeah, but why would she want to do that? Why would she want to water down who and what she is? Apparently, Ice Cube offered her $5 million just for a few games last year in the Big Three, and she said no. What does she need that money for? It's like Nike just gave her, what, $30 million? And she doesn't even have a shoe yet. And one of the reasons she doesn't have a shoe is because people are like, oh, Asia Wilson needs a shoe. I mean, come on. Botcher, when Caitlin Clark's shoe sells, is she not going to have, she might have the most popular shoe from the men and the women. And that's a crazy thing to say.
Depends how it looks. Because we all support players, but sometimes if it does look a little wonky, we won't buy it.
A lot of these shoes look wonky to me, but I feel like there's now a little bit of a template in the traditional basketball shoe. You could either wear something that looks like a sock, a space boot, or a lot of the these shoes are kind of clean now, like going from Kobe's to the old Kyrie's to now the John Morant's. Like, I feel like there's a little bit of a template. If it is anywhere in that range, where you can get a man and a woman into the shoe who's playing basketball, I think it goes without saying, she gonna sell some shoes. They're gonna make sure that this shoe is widely available for every and anybody, and regardless of their taste. Here's Ice Cube again. He talks about Caitlin Clark and that offer, even though that was last year. What about now?
Yeah, it was a real offer. You know, prepared to fulfill the offer. You know, we just wanted to have a conversation with her and her family about it. That didn't happen. I think the agents kept us away. And, you know, we moved on. And, you know, she's doing great in the WNBA. We wish her well.
Oh, good for them. Congratulations. Is she the? It's a nice thing to say, hey, I don't need $5 million from Ice Cube's Big Three League. Where, who the hell was fighting the other day? Is Steven Jackson angry at Bonchu? Who was out? Do you remember? It was Dwight Howard and Lance Stevenson, right?
Michael Beasley.
Oh, my God. Was it Beasley? No.
Beasley is in it. I know that.
Yeah, but it was Dwight Howard. I think it was Dwight and Lance. They were trying to kill each other.
That checks out.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of it does. It's a world. And shout outs to the Big Three. And shout outs to Caitlin Clark. She don't need them. She don't need nobody. She might as well be the WNBA. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, well, we're going to take a look at all the things that we discussed so far in the show. It's been a busy one. We're getting ready for the NBA Finals. At the end of the show, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. Rafael Devers is getting ready to beat up on the Red Sox, his former team. So we still have so much more to do. Let's give a quick recap and talk some more. You want to call me? You can do that too. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You're locked in. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.